Okay, today's Bible reading is John chapter 14, verses 1 to 21. It is the I am the way, the truth, and the life passage. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would have I told you to go and prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you will know him as you have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and still you do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me and dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these he will do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that my Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you, and I will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, but I will come to you. Yet in a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live, and you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in and me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him.
Morning, everyone. I'm Jared, and the pastor here. I'd like to invite all the kids up to the front. Please come on down. It's not the Price is Right, but you can come on down. while you're making your way down, I want to have a think about that verse where Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so we're going to be thinking about that just briefly. We'll be thinking about that for the whole service. But just now, I want us to think about what it means for Jesus to be the way to the Father. He's how we get to the Father. And he also says something. He says, there's no other way to get to the Father. And who's the Father he's talking about? That's right, God. That's right. He's talking about God. He's saying he's the only way to God. Is there any other way to get to God? No, that's right. There's no other way. Jesus is teaching us that he is the only one who can bring us to God the Father. And the reason why he can do that is because of who he is and what he's done. Because he is God and he's fully human, so he can bring us together. And because he died for us on the cross and rose again, which we've been thinking about at Easter time, haven't we? We've been thinking about how Jesus died. Yeah, he died for us, for our sin. You weren't listening? Well, now this is a good opportunity for you to listen. Think about Jesus dying on the cross. Why did he die? Because of our sin. You see, without Jesus dying on the cross, we couldn't come to God. And that would be the worst thing ever. But because Jesus died on the cross and because he rose again, we can come to God and we can know for sure that we're right in His sight if we trust in Jesus. Did you have a question? Yeah, go for it. Is that a safe? It's not a very good one, given the key is in it and it's right there. I guess it technically is a safe, but the most important thing is to be safe for eternity, which can only happen in Jesus, our Lord. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your grace to us. We thank You, Lord Jesus, that You are the only way to the Father. And we thank You that we can come to You and trust You and know where we're going forever if we trust in You. And so we thank You, Lord, that You died for us and that You rose again and that we can come to You. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, kids. All right. So, good morning, everyone, again. So we're going to be looking at that passage this morning that we just had read for us, looking at Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life. So we're continuing on looking at the I am statements of Jesus. We're going to do all three of those in one. Once a person that is very dear to me said, I asked what you thought of my sermon in the morning, and the person said, I liked all three sermons you preached that morning. I was like, thank you. we're going to do three big points, but they're all related. Jesus puts them right together, so we're going to do them right together. All right, so I want us to start by thinking, how many ways are there to God? We live in a world that thinks there are many ways to God, that there's one for the master, one for the dame, one for the little boy who lives down the lane. And our world thinks it's arrogant to say otherwise. People use illustrations to say that if God were like an elephant, then different people with different faiths or of no faith would be like blindfolded people feeling different parts of the elephant and saying God is like the trunk or God is like the tail, and so we need to approach Him like this or like that. And then each one would be right in saying different things about God. But God is not like an elephant, and we don't come to Him by groping around in the dark, but by Him shining the light of Christ, who is the way. Have you ever been lost? Yep. I've been lost to varying degrees throughout my life. It's happened on foot, in the car, in the bush, in the city. I've also got lost once at my own house because I didn't tell my parents I was going to be there, and so I was stuck at my when I was a kid. Anyway, it's the whole thing. Maybe you don't get lost as frequently as me, but the fact is that we as people do from time to time get lost. You know those times where I checked Google Maps, but not thoroughly enough, or I used all trails, but not very well. I thought I knew the way, but the reason I'm late and I'm on Kwinana Freeway heading southbound towards South Perth when the concert I'm going to is on Riverside Drive is that there is such a thing as the wrong way. If you try and turn into oncoming traffic down Row Highway, you'll see a massive sign in all caps saying, wrong way, go back. Don't ask me how I know. The word way is underlined. There is such a thing as the wrong way. And when it comes to God, there are plenty of wrong ways that will never get us to Him. But there is one way, and only one way, to God the Father. One way, and His name is Jesus. And that sounds controversial to our world, a world that doesn't want to privilege a particular viewpoint or perspective against others. But the reality is that there's only one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and there's only one way to Him, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And that without Him, we'd all be lost. Just before today's passage, to the end of chapter 13, Simon Peter asks Jesus where he's going. And that sort of sets up this whole context for today, talking about Jesus going somewhere. Jesus speaks to Simon, telling him that where Jesus is going now, they cannot follow. The meaning of that being that Jesus is on His way to the cross. And that's not somewhere Simon and the other disciples will follow now, but they will follow Jesus afterwards. And today's passage builds on this, beginning with Jesus calling His disciples
to not let their hearts be troubled, but rather to put their faith in God and to put their faith in Jesus. Trust God, trust me, says Jesus. Don't get all caught up with concerns because you can't follow me right now. Trust God, trust me. And you can understand their concern, can't you? Their rabbi, their friend, their Lord is going away where they can't go now. What? The one we've left everything to follow? He's going away and we can't come? If we were in their shoes, our hearts would be troubled too, wouldn't they? Jesus then gives us this beautiful and reassuring picture of his Father's house, where there are many rooms and where Jesus is going to prepare a place. Imagine that. Jesus going to his Father's house, getting it all ready, and then coming and bringing his disciples there that they may also be there with him. They needn't be troubled in their hearts. Yes, Peter will go on to deny Jesus 3 times. He says that just earlier. Yes, Jesus is going somewhere now that they can't follow right now. But Jesus is gracious and forgiving, and he is going to prepare a place for them. Not the kind of home that you build but never get to live in, but the kind of forever home where Jesus is going to come and fetch them and us and bring them and us there to be with him. Along the same theme, Jesus says in verse 4, "And you know the way to where I am going." Which just seems to add to their confusion. It's sort of an interesting dynamic in this passage. Jesus says something, they get confused. He says something else, they get confused. It's just this ongoing thing of them missing what he's saying. But as this happens, we're getting greater and greater clarity about what Jesus is really teaching. Thomas replies in verse 5 in a similar way to Peter's earlier question by saying, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Which we get that logic, don't we? If someone says, you know, "I'm going there," and you're like, "Well, how do I know the way to there if I don't know where there is?" To which Jesus answers Thomas's question, "How can we know the way? I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The reason Jesus can say to Thomas and the other disciples, "You know the way to where I'm going," is because Jesus is the way to where he is going. Not only is Jesus whom they're going to be with, along with the Father, he's how they're going to be with him. They know Jesus. Jesus is the way, so they know the way. There's no other way to come to God, no other name that can save, no other faith can bring us to the Father. No other being can make us belong in God's house. Only Jesus saves. Only Jesus brings us to the Father. Only Jesus can prepare a place for us and bring us to himself that we may belong in his Father's house. And that's because only Jesus has the ability to save us. He's fully God. He's fully man. And he willingly died on the cross, taking all of our sin, all of our shame, and then rising triumphantly from the grave, victorious over sin, death, and the devil. And we spoke about Jesus being the only one capable of saving us. But praise God, not only is he able, he is willing, that he went through with it in order to save us. In submission to his Father's will, Jesus laid down his life of his own accord and took it up again to rescue sinful people like me and you. We spoke about being lost a bit earlier. Without knowing Jesus the way, we find ourselves lost, not able to make sense of what's going on. Each and every one of us, lost, in need of saving before Jesus comes into our life. Not knowing where we come from, not knowing where we're going, not knowing God, not knowing how to come to God, not knowing how to be right with God, and desperately in need of Jesus, the rescuer. And tragically, sometimes we can be lost and not even realize it. There are many people in our world who are like that, lost without knowing they're lost, not knowing that we don't know how to come to God, not knowing that something's not right between us and God. And so what we all desperately need is God to reveal himself to us. And that's just what he's done in Jesus Christ, which brings us to our second point. Jesus is the truth. What is your truth? What is my truth? It hurts me to ask those questions, by the way. We live in a world that thinks truth is relative and subjective. Not everyone, but a number of people do. Or at least they think it's relative. There are ideas circulating around where people think that statements aren't objectively true or false or right and wrong, but it's just people's interpretations of events and actions that make them right or wrong for them. But this is complete nonsense. And even the world isn't consistent in applying this logic. It might be happy to say things like, you have your truth and I have my truth, and we kind of let that sort of fester in the social realm. And in relationships and so on, there are areas in our world that show that even our world knows this is patently false. I'll give you some examples. An individual doesn't get marked right in a maths exam when their truth is that 5 times 5 is 37 instead of 25, which it actually is. A person isn't acquitted of murder because their truth is that they were justified in doing it, or the idea that murder is not wrong for them. No, acquittals happen because of facts presented to judges and juries, not because of how we feel about the situation. And NASA doesn't take seriously the claim that Earth has 17 moons because the Earth has 17 moons to me. If there's a famine because of a bad year for crops, it can't be that my truth is that actually it was a really good year for crops, even though starvation is rife. The point that I'm making is that truth is not defined by us. Truth is witnessed by us. We can identify things that are true and false, but truth isn't mine or yours. Truth is, and that's because God is. You see, one of the reasons our world goes to such lengths to try to embrace relativistic versions of truth is that as soon as you concede that truth is objective, especially the truth about right and wrong, questions are rightly asked about the source of truth. And there's no satisfactory explanation for that other than God. And in today's passage, Jesus teaches us that he is the truth. Not only does he speak the truth, not only does he live the truth, he is the truth. Truth is because Jesus is. And this is connected to the reality that he is one with and of one essence with God the Father, and perfectly reveals his character to us. Verse 7 says, "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Jesus states that knowing him is the way to knowing the Father, such that if you know Jesus, you know the Father. To know the Son is to know the Father. And he adds, "You've seen him," highlighting that they are of the same essence. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it's enough for us." It reminds me a little bit of in John 4 with the woman at the well, and Jesus is talking to her, and she's like, "Oh, I know. When the Messiah shows up, he'll clear everything up and it'll all be good and we'll all understand what's going on." It sort of reminds me of that, where Philip here is saying, "Lord, show us the Father and it's enough for us." You know, he probably heard Jesus say the Father and then go, "Oh, you know, that's it. You know, just show us the Father and it'll all make sense." You can kind of see his reasoning. And that's how we can think. And Jesus then says to him in verse 9, "Have I been with you so long and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." Let that sink in for a moment. whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus makes it clear that if you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father, because in beholding Jesus, you're beholding him who shares the same character with the Father. Not one who shares some characteristics with the Father, but the one who is God himself, the one who is ultimate, who is truth, ultimate truth himself standing before them. Now, Jesus being ultimate truth is critically important because it tells us that his character is that of the eternal, unchanging God. You may have heard people talk about being authentic and a desire for authenticity. But often that desire proves as elusive as it is enticing. But here we have Jesus prove himself, show himself to be the truly authentic one. In Jesus, we see God's character perfectly displayed and the one we can truly trust. Jesus being ultimate truth also tells us that he defines truth. You know, for us, attempting to define right and wrong is to step outside our lane, you know, just like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, when they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they're trying to know right and wrong for themselves. That's them stepping outside of our lane. We can often do that ourselves. That's what the Bible's talking about when it says sin a lot of the time. But for Jesus, defining right and wrong is completely within his role as the eternal Son of the Father. He's not stepping outside of his lane when he defines right and wrong. No, that's exactly his role, because he is one with the Father and the Spirit for all eternity. Jesus then goes on to give evidence of his relationship with the Father and a beautiful description of how he continues to work in our world, even now that he's gone to be with his Father. Have a listen. How can you say, show us the Father? Then in verse 10, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. This is a beautiful description of Jesus' ongoing work in the world, in our midst. He hasn't given up. He hasn't left us as orphans. He hasn't just, you know, gone away to the, like, and never to support us or be with us. No, he's with us right now by his Spirit. We'll talk about that a bit more in a moment. But he also teaches us that he does these amazing works that prove his identity. When you look at Jesus's miracles and you see the astonishing things he did, those are signs pointing us to the authenticity of what he's saying. You know, that Jesus who calmed the storm, who fed 5,000 plus people, who did all of these amazing things, walked on water, all of these astonishing miracles, those are markers pointing to who he is. This is God himself, the one who is ultimate truth, walking on the earth that he made because of his great love. And then he calls us to be asking him to do great things, and he calls us to, he says that we'll do even greater works. He says that, you know, to the disciples there. But then he also, there's a way in which that is relevant to us today. And there's a quote from William Carey in 1792, who was a preacher. He was is considered often one of the heavy hitters in terms of the mission sort of world, that is going out to reach the world for the Lord Jesus. He said this: expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. Expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. And that's a beautiful, beautiful summary of what this is talking about. We can trust that the good Lord is working, that he's going to do amazing things, and there's a freedom in that for us to go out there and try and do amazing things. Not in our own strength, but in his. You know, we can go out there with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and see lives changed, see people saved, and that's because of Jesus working. And so let's continue asking God to do great things and attempting great things for him. Life. Life is what you make it. Another message we hear is that the world's your oyster. Go out there, do what you want. Make it what you want. Life, an abundant life, is found in you putting in the hard yards. If you do the work, you'll reap the rewards. What an exhausting worldview to live with. No wonder we have, you know, such widespread challenges with insecurities and anxieties when the world and the air we breathe says, be your own helper. Our world thoughts about God would potentially be summed up in the quote made popular by Benjamin Franklin, God helps those who help themselves. That's not in the Bible, by the way. Yeah, it's basically the opposite of what the Bible teaches us. God helps those who can't help themselves. God helps those who are powerless to do anything. He helps those who are hopeless without him and who recognize they desperately need his help. And in this section where Jesus teaches about him being the life, he also teaches us about sending the helper, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, who comes to make his home in us who believe in him. Jesus teaches us that the world cannot receive the Holy Spirit, the helper, because it neither sees him nor knows him. In contrast to the disciples who've seen Jesus, who've therefore seen the Father, they can indeed receive the Holy Spirit, and we can too. The Holy Spirit was already in their midst back then, and Jesus promised that he would not only be in their midst, but would be in them. God himself making his dwelling in his disciples. And that's the awesome reality for us too, that Jesus, who is the life, he is in the Father is in him, we are in Jesus is in us, and all of this is possible by the Holy Spirit. Isn't that beautiful? He's made his dwelling in us. And if you think back to, we spend a lot of time in Exodus working our way through there, and think about how holy God is and how awesome he is, and how we can't just kind of waltz up to him as though, you know, we think he's just like our buddy and we don't respect him. It's astonishing to think that he who is so holy would come and make his dwelling in us. That he would live in us. You think about the tabernacle, you think about the temple, you think about all the regulations in terms of them coming to God, and even, you know, going into the most holy place, being limited to the high priest once a year. Now we have his Holy Spirit living in our hearts. What astonishing grace that is. And because Jesus lives, we live too. You know, without the Holy Spirit coming into our hearts and giving us this life, giving us this trust in Jesus, we'd be dead in sin. In order to go and be with Jesus in his Father's house, we need the helper to first come and make his home in our hearts. We're going to be with Jesus in his Father's home, but right now his Spirit is making his home in us. And that's the beautiful thing that's going on in this passage. Have a read with me. We're going to look at 15 to 21 as we solidify this in our minds. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in the Father, I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. In Jesus is life. and his life is the light of men. That is to say that Jesus' character is life, and he is the source of life. If we try to find life anywhere else, we won't find it. If we try to find life in preserving our own lives, we'll lose them. But if we give up our lives for Christ, we'll find them. True life isn't found anywhere else other than in Jesus. Come to Jesus. He's alive and he is life. And keep coming to Jesus, remembering that it's only in our great God that we live and move and have our being. None of us would be here if it weren't for God giving us breath in our lungs and the sun warming the earth to just the right temperature, him giving us food, water, and blessing us with life. But even more than the physical, God offers us eternal life, spiritual life, knowing Jesus and the Father through the Holy Spirit coming to live in us. We can often get the impression that life is something for us to go out there and take, something for us to bring about ourselves. But the reality is that true life is found in Jesus, and we can't take it, but we can receive it. By receiving Jesus and his Holy Spirit, that's how. You know, I love that in this passage. It says in verse 17, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. There's a receiving that we can receive the Spirit. We can't take the Spirit. God is graciously giving himself to us. If you've received the Spirit already, rejoice that God himself has come to make his home in you. What astonishing love and grace that is. That he's rescued you, that he's given you life, he's given you purpose, he's given you hope, that he is with you and in you, and that while he's making his home in your heart right now, he's got his home ready for you that he's going to bring you to for eternity. But if you're yet to receive him, then I urge you to do that today, to receive the life that's on offer to you in Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. Just receive him. And it's pretty straightforward how we do that. The Bible calls us to turn from sin to Jesus, trust him as our Lord and Savior. It's not rocket science, but it's the most important thing that we can know of, the love of the Lord Jesus. So I urge you to do that today. If you're not sure where you're at with him, come back to him. Whether it's you starting your journey with him or, you know, coming reorienting your life to be back closer to him. Let's all draw near to Jesus together. So as we've been thinking about this passage, we've been thinking about Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Trust God. Trust Jesus, the way. Let's reject all of the wrong ways, all of the other ways, because they're all wrong, and come to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the only way. And keep coming to him. Keep drawing near to him. As he's always there for us. Secondly, believe God. Believe in Jesus, the truth. Reject the lies and the falsehoods that we see in our world, which is confused about truth and to whom truth belongs. Find the bedrock for your soul and your entire existence in the only one who can give you a firm foundation, Jesus Christ, the truth. Tell the truth. You know, we hear that a lot, don't we, when we're kids and when we grow up. When we think about it, that's good advice, tell the truth, not only in terms of being honest about things that are going on, but tell the truth. Who is the truth? Jesus. Tell of Jesus. Tell this and tell it to everyone. You know, let's keep proclaiming the wonderful news that Jesus is the truth. He is God. He's come. He's made God known to us, that we can know him. You know, many people, I think, would go, well, I'd love to know God if they, not in themselves, we can't muster that up ourselves. But I think that if you talk to people, sometimes people would express a sentiment like that. If they're searching for God, and, you know, even if they aren't not yet searching for God, let's hold out the truth that Jesus is how we understand who God is. You know, we can get confused about a lot of things in our world, but we find truth in Jesus Christ, and he's the one who gives us that firm foundation. Finally, receive God, the Holy Spirit, through Jesus, the life. Let's not reject the Spirit of God, but let's receive him and know the hope and joy and peace of Christ living in us and us in him. Live in his love and under his lordship. And if you've got questions, if you're like, oh, this is raising a lot of questions for me, I'm not sure where I stand with Jesus, please come and talk to me afterwards. If you've got things that you're like, oh man, I'd just like to draw nearer to God, and maybe there's sin in your life that you just want to give up, I encourage you to do that right now in your heart. We're going to pray in a moment. We're going to pray turning away from our sin, trusting in Jesus, and asking him to let not our hearts be troubled, but to let us believe in him and know the peace that comes from Jesus, who is the way and the truth and the life. So will you join me as we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your grace and your goodness to us in the Lord Jesus. We thank you that you love us and that you are always with us. And we thank you that you, Lord Jesus, are the way. You're the only way in which we can get to you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have made that clear to us, that no striving, no other thing that we could do or anything that we could trust in could bring us to you, Lord God, only Jesus. So, Lord, we turn away from all of our vain attempts at saving ourselves and all of the various other things we've trusted in, and we trust you, Jesus. And we ask, Lord, that you would grant that our hearts would not be troubled, but that our hearts would be encouraged by the wonderful truth of our Lord Jesus, who has perfectly revealed your character to us. Lord, help us to continue to look to Jesus, to know your character, to know your truth, to understand, because the truth of God is the truth. You are the truth, Lord. We thank you that there really is truth, and that it's you, and that we can find you as our firm foundation. So help us, Lord, to build upon that firm foundation and to trust you in every area of our lives. And Lord, we thank you that you are the life. We thank you that you're the source of life. We thank you that you have sent your Holy Spirit, whom we can receive in the Lord Jesus, to receive this life and know this hope and peace and joy in Christ Jesus. So Lord, we come. You know, whether we've been trusting in you for as long as we can remember, or whether we've never put our trust in you, Lord, we come to you now. We come confessing our sin. We've all fallen short of your glory. We come trusting in Jesus, the only one who can bring us to you. And we come rejoicing in you because you are true and because you've given us life. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.